You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody, to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm and Jason Gibbs here with you today. And we have got the show rolling. As we announced earlier in the first segment, the top 10 players in the NFL were announced last night. J.J. Watt, number one. Aaron Rodgers, number two. Tom Brady, number three. Take a peek at that top 10. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. How would you change around the top 10, or how do you feel that a defensive player is number one on this list? And then our other Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics, and Gibbs, I think you have some tweets about this, is Browns fans, it's your turn. If you had to give us a top three Browns on the roster right now, who would they be and why? And then also, too, I'd like to hear a different top three. Who are your top three most important Cleveland Browns, meaning who could we not lose? So, Gibbs, you said you have some tweets. Let's go to those right now.
Yeah, our good friend G.I. George down in the ATL. About the top 10, J.J. Watt is amazing, but he couldn't even get the Houston Texans into the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers should be number one, hashtag game changer.
I like that.
Make the argument.
Yes, he does.
Make the argument right there. His Browns top three in no specific order, Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas, Alex Mack. Honorable mention, Carlos Dansby.
Like it.
Now, here's my thing. Does it bother you that no skill position players? What does that tell you about our skill position players?
It says a lot.
Should it, you know, does it concern you that there are no skill position players in the top three?
Yes and no.
To be successful, do you have to have a skill position in your top three?
I think you do.
Obviously a quarterback.
Obviously, you'd like to have it be a quarterback, but if it wasn't, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles wouldn't have a quarterback in their top three. Maybe. Yeah, I guess you could say Sam Bradford. You know, last year they would say no. That's very interesting. You look at the – let's just go in the division. You know, top three, you look at, you know, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. So they don't have any defensive player. Cincinnati, what do you go, Dalton, A.J. Green, and who?
Who's the defensive line? Yeah.
Geno Atkins?
I think you got to put Geno in there. I don't know if you put Dalton in there.
Okay.
I don't know about that one.
And then the Baltimore Ravens, would you go Flacco?
Yep.
Would you go Suggs or Dumerville?
Suggs for sure.
Suggs for sure? Then it's got to be Dumerville, too. He's a guy that has come out saying he's going to have, you know, 22 and a half sacks, and if he does, they're going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So they go two defense. Okay. It is concerning that we don't have a skilled offensive player, but I think that's this team. That's their, you know, that's something that Mike Pettine is aware of. And as we continually talk about all the time, you know, on this radio station and everybody does from a fan base, is we have to adapt to the fact that we can't win like other teams that we see each and every weekend once the football season starts, win football games. And the sooner we wrap our head around the fact that we're going to have to win football games via playing very good defense, very good special teams, and controlling the clock on offense, we can win a lot of football games. I believe we can. When we start to get overly confident and outside the box on offense is when I think it becomes a you-know-what show, and things put too much pressure on the defense and too much pressure on the special teams, and they can't live up or carry that load as consistent as they've had to do in years past.
Kevin Beard tweets at the show, as you can, Browns at Browns_daily. You can also call us, 216-578-0850. Who are your top three Browns on this team going into the season, and who are the top three guys of most importance on this Cleveland Browns football team? Popularity-wise, Kevin Beard says Joe Hayden, number one, Dante Whitner, number two,
okay,
and the Crow, number three.
Most popular?
Most popular.
Okay. That's his perspective. Does he have a most important?
He does have a most
All right,
important.
Good.
Number
this
one.
This was interesting to me.
Yeah. Number one, Joe Hayden. Number two, Alex Mack. Number three, Joe Thomas. Now, I'm going to say this. I like Joe. Joe's obviously
a great
– Joe Thomas.
Okay.
Sorry, should clarify. I like Joe Thomas. I think he's really good. I think that you could find a way to survive without him. God forbid he went down with an injury.
I agree, and I agree with you. And this is, you know, this is a good debate. When you get into these lists, I also feel the same way about Joe Hayden because of the depth
have. You are out of your mind.
You're crazy.
No way. There is no one else even close to Hayden.
You haven't seen Tremont Williams play yet, have you?
Come on now.
Okay. What did you say about Joe Thomas? You said we could get by. We could survive, right? Or we have that guy that would allow us to keep that offense looking the way it looks, but without Joe Thomas, correct?
Correct.
I think we can do the same thing with the players in our defensive back room. I think we can. And we had to. You look at the play to Pierre Desir at the end of the year without Joe Hayden. Now, if you lose him for 16 games, it's a detriment because of what you're able to do. And in some cases, I'm sure Jim O'Neill would have to change not a lot, but a significant portion of the playbook or his confidence in making certain play calls in certain situations because of the luxury that Joe Hayden brings to the table. But you'd be able to play good defense without Joe Hayden. The same way that you might think we could play good offense without Joe Thomas. But Kevin the Beard has a point on Alex Mack, and I think last year was a scare tactic to keep everybody, as we asked them all show long, to have Alex Mack somewhere on that list of the top three.
In terms of importance, Alex Mack is right up there.
He is.
With the added depth on the O-line.
Right. Because if you get into Joe Thomas, the same way that I kind of made a point for the other guys in the DB room, you now have Cam Irving. He's the game changer along the offensive line because of the fact that he can play left tackle. Then you keep last year's offensive line intact. You go Irving, Betonio, Mack, Greco, Schwartz. And you're, of course, going to have drop-off, and you're going to, of course, have some concern now at left tackle because you've got a rookie playing in the position of something that you used to take so much for granted because you never had to worry about that outside pass rush from the backside.
The other one I question is Whitner for your team MVP, your top three players on this football team.
That you can't lose?
Well, that you can't lose? No, this was in the popular. In terms of the popularity,
I can see it. The same reason his jersey was number 10 overall in the country.
Yeah, Kelly tweeted us that very same thing. I just, in terms of, you know, if I'm looking at who are the top three players on this Cleveland Browns team.
Let's hear yours. Let's do ours before we get a break here.
Obviously, I got to go Joe Hayden.
Yep. This is popularity.
Yeah. I mean, I think Dansby is huge on the field for us.
He is.
I might put Dansby in my top three. And I would go Alex Mack.
Okay. I'm going to go popularity-wise. I'm going to go Hayden, Thomas, Whitner in that order, popularity-wise. This is a fan base, very loyal. There's a reason why Joe Hayden has number one in jersey sales because of who he is and what he stands for and the player that he is. I know, having been at FanFest, I know, having been to the uniform reveal, the love and passion that this city has for Joe Thomas. So that's why he's on my list. And then a lot of the reason why Dante Whitner was 10th overall, as you know, myself and the tweet that you got had mentioned, Dante Whitner being here, being from here, and to me, him and Dansby, you know, kind of go hand in hand. They backed up a lot of the talk they did when coming here as free agents last year.
I think Whitner did more of that inside that locker room and in that defensive room.
Right.
I think not taking anything away from his play this year.
Because he was a Pro Bowler.
Not taking anything away from his play, but I think he contributed as much, if not more, as a leader of this defense.
So let's flip the script and go with the most important. Who could we not lose?
Alex Mack, number one for me.
Okay.
Even with our offensive line depth, yeah, you can't lose Mack again. God. Things got awful bad, awful rough last year when that happened. I'm going to put Joe Hayden number two on my list.
All right.
I don't think there's another DB that can do what he does.
No, I'm not saying there is. There's nobody that can do what he does. But my point was that you could survive.
I don't know. God, number three player that we can't afford to lose. I'm just going through it. There's no one else on offense.
All right,
I feel
like.
But that's a testament to our depth. I feel like
it is. I'll give you mine and see if I can sway you. I'm going Alex Mack number one because I was scared the bejesus out of me what happened last year.
Yes.
Can't have it happen again. Number two for me is going to be Josh McCown.
Oh, good call.
Because I feel – and it's not because I'm like, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid and he's going to be the next, you know, Aaron Rodgers in this. I'm just saying the control, the leadership, the accuracy – and experience that he will bring to stabilize the quarterback position is unlike anything we've had in the last 5 years. And so for that reason, and also I believe there is, even though so many people call it a competition, after watching practice, there is some drop off from one to two with the development of Johnny Manziel.
Yes, no
That's
question.
Very apparent. And for that reason, you highly discount the effectiveness of this offense, even when you're rolling, by losing a guy like Josh McCown.
Sure.
So he's my number two. And then I was going back and forth, and you've kind of swayed me on Joe Hayden.
Attaboy.
Only because you want to have the full gamut. You want to have all the cards, you know, when you're out there.
Look,
you know,
if Justin Gilbert had played his rookie year like we had all hoped he would, I wouldn't be as concerned about
sure.
it. But Tre'Mon Williams is an older player. You don't know what you're getting with Gilbert. Desir showed you some flashes at the end of the year. You know, you've got some guys that can ball out, but
in spot duty, right?
Yeah.
You can't see him taking, you know, if Joe had to miss – you know, six games, you're going to have one of those three guys you mentioned or two guys you mentioned.
You have to cover Antonio Brown,
right?
AJ Green, and you got to cover one. You got to cover each one of those guys twice a year.
Yeah, you're going to get Demaryius Thomas. Ooh. You're going to get who else are we getting this year?
In the AFC West,
you get Demaryius Thomas.
Kansas City doesn't throw touchdowns.
Jeremy Maclin has Kansas City.
Yeah,
Jeremy Maclin. San Diego's by committee. Good thing about it is we get the Chargers with no Gates week four.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
That is a good point.
Wow.
Just thought about that. So we get no Sheldon Richardson week one, but they have Leonard Williams, as we talked yesterday. And we get no Gates week four, which would be a plus.
Big pluses.
AFC West. So you get the Raiders, you get Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. They're gonna be by committee. I think Cooper might be the offensive rookie of the year.
I love Cooper.
I'm going to call it right now.
I love Amari Cooper.
I will call it right now.
The Jets, Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall. Bye.
Oh.
I like Joe. That's going to be a pinnacle matchup that I'll be watching week one is Joe Hayden, Brandon Marshall.
That could sway the game.
Because Joe Hayden's going to eat him up. Because he's that big, physical, jump ball type of guy, and that's right in Joe Hayden's wheelhouse. And there's who's the NFC? Oh, we talked about the NFC West. So Seattle, you got Jimmy Graham, but that's no concern of Joe Hayden's.
You got Fitzgerald.
You got Fitzgerald, who's, you know, past his prime. What?
Come on. He's not past his prime.
The Arizona Cardinals contemplated not signing him this year.
That's because of the money.
Right. Yeah, bang for your buck. He's post-prime. And you can't
no
say
no way.
Not.
You out of your mind.
Dude, watch a Cardinals game and tell me he's not past his prime.
Well, we're going to.
We'll have to.
Yeah, exactly.
The Rams, they're talented by committee. So we could cover them. And the last team, the Niners. They have Anquan Boldin. And I like Hayden on Boldin all day. So,
but if you took Hayden away from this football team, that's a lot of big names to cover in one season.
Oh, it is. It is. And you're asking young players, Desir, Gilbert, Kaywan Williams, all to step up against those names consistently week in, week out. So that's why Hayden made my three. So you talked me into it.
Attaboy.
All right, we still want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 or @Browns_daily on Twitter. We're talking top 10 players announced last night by the NFL, as well as your Browns top three on the roster right now, and then another three of most importance. Jason Gibbs and I have listed it out. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs on ESPN 850 WKNR. I'm going to give.